WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. D.C. police are investigating following a police chase last night that ended up killing an innocent bystander. Police say they spotted the car they were looking for in relation to an armed robbery and carjacking that happened on Monday. The car took off and eventually crashed into other cars on East Capitol Street near the Benning Road metro station. One man in another car was taken to the hospital where he died. According to the police, one person was arrested. Fairfax County police are working to figure out if the murders of two people there are related. They say 22-year-old Kades Simene was found in a backyard in Springfield on Friday. 22-year-old Hanak Johannes was found dead inside his home in Springfield Thursday night. They both had upper body trauma, according to the police. They say the killings are not random, but they haven't said whether the two knew each other or they have released any info about a possible suspect. The United States didn't vote in favor of it, but didn't vote to stop a UN Security Council resolution condemning Israeli settlements. Instead, the United States abstained.
U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power said abstaining from the vote was consistent with decades-old U.S. policy on Israeli settlements in the West Bank.
The United States has been sending the message that the settlements must stop privately and publicly for nearly five decades.
At the same time, she said the resolution was the status quo for the UN and its anti-Israel bias.
Such unequal treatment not only hurts Israel, it undermines the legitimacy of the United Nations itself.
She said U.S. support for Israel's right to exist and defend itself is unchanged.
Our commitment to that security has never wavered, and it never will.
In New York, Steve Kastenbaum on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Authorities in Italy are trying to figure out where Anis Amri may have been headed and where his remaining connections may have been. The Tunisian man wanted in the deadly Berlin truck attack was killed in a shootout in the suburbs of Milan.
24-year-old Anis Amri, a Tunisian national who was wanted for the Berlin truck attack, was actually stopped at random by police officers. They say because he was behaving suspiciously and they wanted to check his ID. Instead of producing his ID, he produced a .22 caliber pistol and began firing immediately. But eventually, when they did manage to bring him down and check his fingerprints, they realized those were the same fingerprints that were on the steering wheel of the truck that was used in the Berlin attack.
Correspondent Nina Dos Santos. At the same time, federal authorities are warning law enforcement across the U.S. that ISIS sympathizers are continuing to call for attacks on churches and other holiday gathering sites. The warning was issued after a publicly available list of U.S. churches was posted on a militant social media site. Families of some of the victims in Oakland's deadly warehouse fire are filing a lawsuit. Attorney Mary Alexander.
The city failed to warn the public, warn these young people that this was not a place that was permitted, and for events that it was unsafe from a fire standpoint.
That fire 3 weeks ago killed at least 36 people. And this, so far, has been a disappointing year for the men and women ringing bells next to their red kettles.
Midway through the campaign, we saw that things were starting to become a little sluggish in the fundraising, and we were still about 15% off where we wanted to be in order to meet the $1.4 million goal.
And now it's crunch time, and Salvation Army spokesman Ken Forsyth says they're still short.
We still have a long winter ahead of us, and whatever the public can do to help would really, really be appreciated.
Salvation Army bell ringers will be out all day hoping that last-minute shoppers will drop in some cash. Bill Thompson on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Sports, the Caps shut out Tampa Bay 4-0. Wizards blown out by the Bucks 123-96. And the Redskins in Chicago this afternoon. We'll check traffic and weather next.
WMAL invites you to the WMAL Inauguration Celebration, Saturday, January 21st at the Hilton McLean Tyson's Corner. Join Brian Wilson, Larry O'Connor, and Chris Plant for an evening of dinner, drinks, and dancing, all to celebrate America. Your ticket includes Pastor hors d'oeuvres, a three-course seated dinner, and dancing the night away with live music. Purchase your tickets to WMAL's Inauguration Celebration, a perfect stocking stuffer, at WMAL.com/inauguration.
Hey everyone, Proactive has a special offer for our listeners. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free offer that includes a free giveaway and free shipping. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. Want to try Proactive Plus? They're letting everyone try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, they're they're giving away two free gifts and free shipping when you call right now. 800-281-8770. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free gifts, and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. You'll get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now. 800-281-8770. That's 800-281-8770. One more time. Ready? 800-281-8770.
At 7:05 on WMAL, we head into the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. Get the latest from James Stanley.
We're watching a couple of problems this morning that could slow you down. On the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, 295 southbound, right around 198. It's a full freeway closure. Expect big delays and take an alternate route if possible. Several problems on the inner and outer loop have been cleared. That's free-flowing again. And there's a right lane taken out on 66 eastbound just past Nutley Street. Watch for delays starting to build behind that.
And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast. Rain out of here around midday, then mostly cloudy up to around 50. Tonight, the clouds clear out down to the mid-30s. Christmas Day looking sunny in the upper 40s. We're at 41 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Saturday morning update for Christmas Eve. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by John Gizzi, the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, John. Good to have you with us.
Merry Christmas. I'm going to leave the studio this morning if you say happy holidays.
Friday, an abstention by the U.S. in a United Nations vote allowed the passage of a resolution condemning Israeli settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank. And it's clearly been seen as a slap in the face to Israel, one that will probably be countered in the new Trump administration. But give us a sense of the magnitude of the offense to Israel.
Well, it basically underscores what we have known for more than two generations about the United Nations, that the body that under Secretary General Trigvi Lee welcomed the newborn state of Israel to its ranks in the late 1940s has grown to be a private fraternity whose anti-Semitism dwarfs that of any country club that blackballed a Jew in the United States. Look, many of us still remember when a pistol-packing Yasser Arafat got a hero's welcome as he addressed the UN General Assembly. Since then, resolutions denouncing Israel and rhetoric that flies like shrapnel whenever the terms Israeli or Jew come up in Turtle Bay are now very common. It shouldn't surprise anyone that a resolution like this comes before the General Assembly. The real surprise, however, is that the United States abstained and didn't veto it. Look, the U.S. is one of Israel's last remaining, if not most loyal, friends in the U.N. General Assembly. So many others have turned their backs, particularly since Prime Minister Netanyahu has been in power, and so many countries will not rise to the defense of Israel. As one of the permanent members of the UN Security Council, the U.S. could have stopped this resolution. It did not. Now, it's no secret that presidents of both parties have wished that the Israeli government would stop the settlements in the Palestinian territories and simply move toward the eventual goal of a two-state solution to the Middle East. It appears it is not going to happen, and the Obama administration certainly didn't make any progress on this. Now, that said, it comes days after Donald Trump, president-elect, named David Friedman, a bankruptcy lawyer and a passionate friend of Israel, as our man in Tel Aviv, or should I say our man in Jerusalem, if the Trump administration makes good on its vow to move the embassy to Jerusalem. That is something that even the more moderate leaders in the American Jewish community shrunk at. Basically, We're talking about a Likudist, an Ariel Sharon man all the way, an ambassador to be Friedman, and that sends a very strong message that the Trump administration is one that Netanyahu and company can always count on for support, and that it will indeed veto resolutions that the Obama administration took a pass on Friday.
John, eager anticipation about the first 100 days when Donald Trump is in office, but I would venture to say that the first 100 days have already started. What do you make of the Trump reset for the nation that seems to be already underway, what it means for the waning days of the Obama administration, and contrast it to prior transitions? He seems to be maybe more aggressive than past president-elects?
Oh, I would say you have to go back to 1933 and the very hostile, indeed incendiary, transition between President-elect Franklin Roosevelt and the man he resoundedly defeated, Republican President Herbert Hoover. It was a lot worse in those days because the inauguration was March 4th. Now in January 20th, there's little time for bad feelings between incoming and outgoing president to fester. And let's face it, transitions are worked on a lot more than they were in 1933, with professional teams, staffs in place, and good and friendly meetings between presidents and first lady. Barack Obama and George W. Bush had a very smooth transition, as did Bush following the administration of lame duck president Bill Clinton. And going back through modern history, most of the transitions are quite calm. This started out this way, but recently, as you say, Rick, the 100 days seem to have begun already, and both policy pronouncements and appointments of Donald Trump clearly show he is going to be less like Barack Obama than one can possibly imagine. The appointment I mentioned earlier of the ambassador to Israel is a case in point. So is the unprecedented telephone call with the president of Taiwan, an unwanted stepchild in U.S. diplomatic eyes since 1978. The incoming president is clearly going to do things differently than the outgoing president, who's using that storied pen and phone to do other things, like try to ban drilling in different places so that his successor does not cause environmental damage. It's amazing that the two of them, gentlemen that they are, keep quiet about one another.
We will continue our conversation with John Gizzi right after a check of the traffic and weather.
Just when the Capitol Beltway was cleared, it happened again, but this time just a disabled vehicle causing a little bit of a delay. It's on the inner loop, it's on the ramp to the 66. It's off on the right shoulder. Watch for delays, though. 95 northbound, just before Maryland 212, we've got an accident on the left side of the road. Right lanes are moving okay, though. Glebe Road, both directions around South Walter Reed, dark traffic lights. And Beach, both directions in D.C., between Calvert, Connecticut, over to Park Tilden, all of the lanes blocked. That's road work. I'm James Stanley on 105.9 FM and AM 630 Washington's Mall, WMAL.
WMAL Weather Channel forecast for today. Some morning rain. It'll be up to 51 this afternoon. Rain should taper off. Tonight down to 36 for Christmas Day. Sunshine, high 49. Sunday night down to 35, and then we'll be back up around 50 on Christmas Monday. 39 right now in Washington, going up to 51, and it's 7:14 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
We continue our conversation with John Gizzi from Newsmax. John, as the White House correspondent, you know intimately how it all works in the White House press room. Donald Trump appointing his White House communications team, Sean Spicer, Hope Hicks, Jason Miller, Dan Scavino. And as you see the tone that the president-elect has met from Democrats and from the media in general since his upset, what do you anticipate in the White House press room come January 20?
Well, I could be a smart aleck, Rick, and say with the two-fisted Sean Spicer in power, the daily press briefings ought to be retitled B beat the press. He can dish it out as well as he can take it. And I've seen Sean in action going back to when he was the spokesman for the U.S. Trade Representative under George W. Bush and for the director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mr. Jim Nussel. I also watched him give as well as he took as the longtime spokesman for Republican National Chairman Reince Priebus. And I think there are two things to keep in mind. One, for all his pugnacity, Sean Spicer has a very good relationship one-on-one with reporters. I still remember some private dinners that he would invite some to, as long as we kept it off the record. And the Friday after the election, he threw a mixer late on Friday afternoon for those of us in the Fourth Estate who could make it. I think that what one should pay attention to is what the press briefings will be like. Will there be the usual exchanges where people in the front two rows get the lion's share of questions and people in the back are called on as an afterthought? Will there be a realignment of the sitting in the press room? And will they even keep the daily briefings daily or do it much more sporadically, as Mr. Spicer hinted? I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because things are going to be different. In the meantime, I'm delighted to see Hope Hicks, who earned her spurs as a campaign spokesman, join the White House team under Sean Spicer, and my friend Jason Miller. Incidentally, Jason's been doing campaigns for decades now, and I find it interesting that the last time he and I talked, we were in Iowa, and he was the spokesman for Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. The passing of Zsa Zsa Gabor, John, the coverage we saw focused on her role as a socialite, a little bit of work in the film world, nine marriages, and nobody really mentioned anything about her role as an opponent of communism. And the only reason I know that is because I read your article on it.
Yes, it's very sad that the frivolous things about Zsa Zsa Gabor's life, albeit those that made her a glamorous and appealing figure, were what the press wrote when she died at age 99 last week. For my part, I like to think of the young woman from Hungary, the beauty queen, who came over with her mother and two sisters in the 30s before Hungary, her native land, was either fascist or communist. After World War II, when the communists came to power, she spoke out against the regime in power in Budapest. In 1956, Zsa Zsa and other Hungarian Americans thought they had their chance as a new government came to power promising democracy, reform, and an alignment outside the Soviet orbit into the world of neutral nations. When the communist tanks came in to put down the revolution, Zsa Zsa Gabor took to the airwaves, along with other Hungarian Americans, calling for the free world to intervene. She was joined by Ilona Massey, another beautiful actress, Ernie Kovacs, the comedian, and Count Dracula himself, Bela Lugosi. But not even beautiful beauty queens, or a vampire, or a man who made America laugh could stop those Soviet tanks. Hungary was a prisoner again. Refugees fled the country as they now flee Syria, and the United States spent $20 million raised from private individuals to resettle the refugees who could not get into the United States. $500,000 of that money, with no attention, no press release or flair, came from Zsa Zsa Gabor's personal account. In other years, she would march in protest outside the Soviet embassy and the Hungarian embassy, letting her people be given freedom. And she was always available to speak at meetings of Hungarian American associations, bestowing the award of honorary Hungarian freedom fighter on a grateful American. In 1989, she finally got her wish. Hungary was free. The Iron Curtain came down. Free elections and a free press came to the land of Zsa Zsa Gabor. In her final years, as her health failed, friends of the actress said she wanted to celebrate her 100th birthday next year in the land of her birth, and plans were made for her to fly back to Budapest. She never made it, but her people did, thanks to people who never gave up trying to put the light of freedom on behind the Iron Curtain. People like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax. John, have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll look forward to catching you just before the new year.
Looking forward to it, and a Merry Christmas to all, and to all, have a nice day.
7:21, Saturday morning update. You know, I'm thinking good night has come in. Nice day. 7:21, Saturday morning update. We'll be talking with Mercedes Schlapp coming up after the 7:30 news.
The holidays are here. This year, be sure to get real cash back on all your shopping with Ibotta. Download the free Ibotta app, I-B-O-T-T-A, and get cash back on gifts, groceries, and alcohol for all your celebrations. Just unlock, shop, and get cash. Gifts for them, cash for you. Download Ibotta free today and get $10 just for trying it. $10. I-B-O-T-T-A. This holiday, you've gotta Ibotta.
One company is on a mission to put a million people to work each year. Sounds like a big number, doesn't it? Not to Express Employment professionals, seeking a skilled labor position, or administrative work. Maybe you're an executive looking for a career that fits.
Good morning, everyone.
We take pride in connecting the right people with the right company. Express Employment Professionals is on a mission to put a million people to work each year. Let us help. We'll open doors for you. Go to expresspros.com to find a location near you.
To all the men and women that serve our country,
we'd like to thank you for your service.
For all you do to keep us safe.
Thank you for all you do for our country.
Thank you!
Brought to you by ARS Rescue Rooter. Thank you for keeping us safe.
Would you like to look forward to Monday morning? Actually get excited about work? At WMAL, some people here don't even consider it work. We get to work in one of the most exciting and creative forms of entertainment. Radio. We help businesses increase sales by being part of the broadcast. Some call it marketing made easy, and the opportunities are now growing. WMAL is expanding in Washington, D.C., and we want you to join our team. We're looking for people with successful sales experience and the drive to help businesses grow and thrive in today's economy. If you're self-motivated, creative, and want a fun and positive workplace, then you'll fit right in. We provide market-leading resources and the leading talk radio personalities in the country, including Brian Wilson, Chris Plant, Mark Levin, and me, Larry O'Connor. If you're interested in becoming part of the WMAL team, call us at 202-895-2444 or email your resume to sales@WMAL.com. 202-895-2444 or email sales@WMAL.com.
And a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah from WMAL. 7:23, it's the Saturday morning update, the inauguration coming up in, less than a month now. I can't believe this story. This is not funny, but I just can't believe this story. Now, we're less than a month out, and the inaugural committee, I guess, has extended invitations to the former presidents, you know, people like George Bush, 43 and 41, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter. Well, the only former president to RSVP so far to the Trump inauguration is Jimmy Carter. Bill Clinton and George W. Bush are putting off their decision until the new year. Are you kidding me? I mean, are the grapes really that sour? Now, we know the Clintons have been keeping a low profile. Okay, that's fair. And, you know, she did lose in the Electoral College and lost it fair and square. But they have made no decisions about whether to attend. That, according to a person familiar with the planning, according to Politico. Angel Urena is a spokesman for Bill Clinton. Angel declined to comment. Bush's spokesman, Freddie Ford, told Politico that the most recent Republican president will not announce whether he'll attend until the new year. A source, quote, familiar with the matter, said Bush is also still weighing whether to show up. George W. Bush had tweeted out a statement of congratulations to Trump after the election, but neither he nor his father, 41, endorsed Trump. And, of course, they gave Jeb a pretty hard time throughout the GOP primary. Now, they did get a confirmation that George H.W. Bush will not be attending the inauguration. That, according to his spokesman, Jim McGrath, who cited the 41st president's age, 92, as the reason that he will not be in attendance. So I think that's fair. But it would be nice if Sonny Boy, 43 there, would make up his mind. He is a Republican. He is a former president. Clintons, well, you know, the Clintons are the Clintons. So we'll see. Speaking of the Clintons, remember Huma Abedin, who created problems because of her former husband, Anthony Weiner? Haven't seen Huma in a while. Don't see much of Hillary. But the paparazzi found them on Thursday. Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin pictured together for the first time since the loss of the election, a five-hour meeting at Hillary Clinton's New York office. Five-hour meeting. It's longer than Putin's press conference. They chatted. Abedin smiled as they walked out of Clinton's office after spending 5 hours together. Abedin and an unidentified woman walked Clinton to a waiting vehicle and set her on her way with a box of documents. Maybe those are the emails we've been looking for all this time. The sighting marks the first time Clinton and Abedin have been pictured together since Hillary conceded the presidential election to Donald Trump. Suggests, according to the Daily Mail, suggests that rumblings among some in Clinton's circle against Abedin are being ignored by the former Secretary of State. Great sentence here. This is the Daily Mail talking, not me. Abedin and pervert estranged husband Anthony Weiner are understood to still be sharing an apartment, despite him being probed by the FBI for underage sexts. Those are the words of the Daily Mail out of the UK. And as we know, the Daily Mail does not mince its words. We're coming up on 7:27 on the Saturday morning update. We're going to talk about the new transition of the cabinet, the new announcements of Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer to be in key roles in the Trump administration. We'll talk about that with Mercedes Schlapp. It's coming up right after the 7:30 news.
I'm Pete. I just launched my first company. Thanks to Custom Inc., I can get my name out there with custom T-shirts, jackets, and polos. I just uploaded my logo online, and with a few easy steps, I had my crew covered in no time.
For all of life's events, choose Custom Inc. Promote your own business and elevate your brand with custom business apparel from Custom Inc. It's easy and fun to make a statement with Custom Inc.'s online design lab. Your designs, quality products, free shipping. Start designing for your business today at CustomInc.com.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Did you know that teens who volunteer are happier, less stressed, and more connected to others? According to a study of 1,200 teenagers by the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards, students who volunteered not only had these strong feelings about volunteering, but they also had a more positive perception of themselves when it came to leadership, dependability, and independence.
I don't want to just sit back and watch the world go by and know that I could be doing something to make the world better.
I just really fall in love with helping people.
I feel very accomplished when I know that I've helped somebody.
When you know that you can do something to impact someone else, it's just
this incredibly fulfilling moment.
When one person can make a difference.
It's an amazing experience that makes you feel so good inside. And there's so many people out there who can use your help.
Volunteering not only can affect a community or a person, it can change the world.
For 22 years, the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards has been honoring excellence in young volunteers. If you would like to learn more, visit spirit.prudential.com.
I'm very fired up.
105.9 FM and AM 630.
This is crazy.
Washington's Mall.
They're nuts.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL
Washington.
A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now,
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. Actress Carrie Fisher, best known for her Princess Leia role in Star Wars, is in intensive care this morning, according to her brother, after suffering a medical emergency on board a flight last night.
When she started to feel ill on the flight, they asked for medical personnel who were on the flight and that she was attended to by people who were on the flight as well as other passengers, and that they radioed in asking for help to meet them at the gate for this United flight when it got to LAX, and that they were waiting for her and then transferring her to the hospital.
Correspondent Stephanie Elam. Thanks to Christmas falling on a Sunday, the bulk of the NFL schedule comes today. But NFL players are not immune to the travel headaches we've all been going through.
The Vikings team plane slid off a Wisconsin runway in suburban Green Bay and became stuck in the grass, leaving players waiting for hours to get off the aircraft. A team spokesman says there were no injuries after the landing at Appleton International Airport.
That's correspondent Bill Michaels. As for the Redskins, they made it to Chicago with no problems as they fight for their playoff lives. The Bears have been struggling, says WMAL Redskins analyst Trevor Maddich.
The Bears are down to their third-string quarterback, Matt Barkley. Now, they've got a Pro Bowl receiver to throw the ball to, and that's bad because of the banged-up Redskins secondary. But it's still the third-string quarterback. And so that's one of the things that the Redskins can look forward to as a matchup that they should be able to take advantage of.
The Redskins need to win their final two games and get a little help in the form of a Tampa Bay loss to resurrect their playoff hopes. Skins and Bears kick off at 1 this afternoon. In other sports, two goals from John Carlson helped the Caps shut out Tampa Bay 4-0. The Wizards get blown out by Milwaukee 123-96. We'll get to the latest WMAL traffic and weather up next.
Brian Wilson.
Really, really interesting.
Larry O'Connor.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Washington Mornings on the Mall. Weekdays 5 to 9.
I think they got it exactly right.
Washington's Mall.
Wow.
WMAL.
That good, huh?
Where Washington comes to talk.
Listen Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Underwriter's Corner here on Washington's Mall, WMAL. Bill Parisi, host of the Underwriter's Corner, has been an underwriter at First Preference Mortgage for more than 20 years. Listen as Bill shares his years of experience and expertise, answering questions about refinancing and about purchasing a home. During the program, First Preference Mortgage will have loan officers available to assist you. These officers are real experts, standing by to offer friendly advice. And really, when was the last time you were able to get a real person on the phone to talk about your mortgage? The professionals at First Preference Mortgage have a wide variety of programs available for financing and obtaining a mortgage. Find out which one's right for you, or even how you can borrow extra money to do repairs and renovations before you move into a new home. The loan officers from First Preference will be available to answer your questions Sunday at 1 p.m. So listen for the Underwriter's Corner with your host, Bill Parisi, here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
At 7:33, getting the latest from James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
It's a holiday weekend, traffic lighter than normal, but could pick up as we're on our last day of shopping for Christmas. Beltway Interloop, the ramp to 66 on the right shoulder, we've got a disabled car there. 95 northbound just before 212, watch for a crash. That's on the far left side and blocking the fast lane. On the Baltimore-Washington Parkway southbound near 198, we've got alternating lanes closed here. They're doing some traffic brakes to get everything moved over to the shoulder, but for now, you're going to have to straddle this to get around it. And Spur 270 southbound just past Democracy Boulevard, that's a right lane taken out from a two-car crash. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Rain's out of here around midday, then mostly cloudy up to around 50. Tonight, the clouds clear out down to the mid-30s. Nice for Santa's run. Christmas Day looking sunny into the upper 40s. Right now, 38 in Vienna, 37 in Damascus, 40 degrees right here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Saturday morning update, WMAL. It's Christmas weekend, and a great Christmas op-ed in the Washington Times, authored by Mercedes Schlapp. She joins us, of course, co-founder of Cove Strategies, Fox News contributor, and a Merry Christmas, Mercedes.
Merry Christmas, Rick. Great to be here.
Headline on the piece, A Christmas Wish for Disconsolate Democrats. I love it.
You know, I always try to make my columns as timely as possible on Christmas weekend. I kept thinking of how can we get the Democrats to a good place where they can find be able to move on from the election. It seems that after the election, it's been weeks upon weeks of finding a way to legitimize President-elect Trump. I mean, from the Electoral College fiasco to their planned protests and the inauguration, it goes on and on. And I just want to remind my fellow Democrat friends that, you know, Republicans had to endure 8 years of President Obama and pushing forward a very leftist agenda. And all I can remember after following those elections was the fact that you just have to rebuild and move forward and move on and try to convince the American people that your agenda is the right way to go. So that was the spirit of my article, which was to just let my Democrat friends know that, you know, we can reach to a point where we can move forward together. They can rebuild and hopefully they can get to a point that they understand that, look, President-elect Trump will become president January 20th, and he's going to push forward an agenda that I actually think, you know, Republicans are on board on, but you'll find on issues like infrastructure spending that Democrats will be on board on, too.
I recall when Barack Obama was inaugurated, and, you know, that was not my first choice as the new president. But I said to myself, well, let's give the guy a chance. And nobody is giving Donald Trump any slack. They're not cutting him any slack whatsoever.
Well, you know, Donald Trump will have no honeymoon period. Normally, there's a time when the president gets settled into the White House, starts to present his agenda to Congress. It's usually not only the peaceful transition part, but the fact is that Americans are excited about what's coming in. Now, in the case of Donald Trump, it has been one criticism after the other. I mean, we even saw with President Obama the fact that weeks after the election, we saw the CIA report come out on the Russian hacking and the Russian interference in the election. You know, all of this adding to what I had mentioned before, but this questioning the legitimacy of the president-elect. And I think that that's very troublesome because not only do we have, you know, the leader of the free world saying this, but then Michelle Obama coming out in the interview talking about how she feels hopeless. I mean, this is just not the behavior of what the current president should be doing to help facilitate the incoming president. You know, there comes a point when the current president needs to kind of step back and be supportive. And I think that that's what's been lacking in this process between President Obama and President-elect Trump.
Well, you mentioned that, and it appeared that President Obama was hoping to maybe have Donald Trump consider keeping some of the elements of Obamacare, keeping some of his legacy intact. But in contrast, the Obama administration seems to be doing everything it can to set these final weeks on the complete opposite course of what Donald Trump will be bringing into the White House. And as an example, the UN vote on the Israeli settlements on Friday, polar opposites, the Trump incoming administration and the current Obama administration. And that's going to be a big issue with the UN and the new administration.
Sure. I feel that President Obama is almost trying to build a wall to protect his own legacy. I think on the Israeli vote on the UN resolution, basically condemning Israel from building the settlement is very troubling. For the most part, it's because we've had for over 50 years a very close relationship with the Israeli government. And the mere fact that the Obama administration abstained from this vote, giving Egypt and the Arab League just so much power, is just shocking. And so I do find that is kind of a slap on the face to Benjamin Netanyahu. And I stand with Donald Trump on this. I mean, it's very clear that the U.S. and Israel need to continue to have a strong bilateral alliance instead of this hostile relationship that we're seeing between President Obama and Netanyahu that stems back from several years ago. I mean, you have to remember that when Netanyahu came to address Congress, it was President Obama who basically snubbed him and would not go and spend time with him to talk through these issues. And so I do find that the president basically and his administration moving forward on this, abstaining from this resolution is just a disgrace. And I think it hurts our relationship with Israel. And I am glad Donald Trump is coming in because he will stand strong with Israel and stand strong against terrorism.
And you say stand strong. You know, it's interesting. We've talked for the last 8 years. A lot of people in conservative circles have talked about how the Russians have basically played the Obama administration. And when Putin came out and made the comments about strengthening its nuclear capability, Donald Trump tweets virtually immediately, the U.S. must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes. So a very clear indication there that Trump is going to stand up to Vladimir Putin, even though there are some relationships, of course, with Rex Tillerson, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I think it was interesting because Putin sent a Christmas letter over to Donald Trump talking about the need for bilateral cooperation. I think that there's a sense of it's this respect. I mean, it could be it's going to be interesting how this relationship plays out because I think that there is the distrust with Putin. But I think that there's something to be said here because both of them were addressing the need to modernize their nuclear weapons. Obviously, we've seen that President Obama back in 2009 spoke in Prague about reducing the number of nuclear weapons that we had in the United States and hopefully getting to a point that we wouldn't have any. The reality is that, sadly, we do have to have a need for nuclear weapons, and the modernization of them is important. And also the other part of this is ensuring that these nuclear weapons are kept out of the hands of terrorists and terrorist organizations. So I do believe that there is a sense of seeing these two very strong characters where they will need to find a sense of respect, more importantly, a sense of dialogue. Putin came out saying that they are going to have these Syrian talks for a ceasefire agreement. And guess who's going to be excluded? The United States. It's going to be Russia, Iran, Turkey, and Syria involved in these talks. The United States are not even involved. And guess what? That is due to the fact that you've had the Obama administration mishandle the Syria issue, not stand strong in pushing for safe zones in Syria, and allowing the Russians to fill the vacuum in the Middle East.
And we'll continue our conversation with Mercedes Schlapp right after a check of the weather and traffic. And we're going to talk with Mercedes about the incoming key positions that were filled in the Trump administration, Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer, and also a little chatter about the cabinet positions that have been announced so far. It's going to be a very interesting new administration. We'll get Mercedes Reed coming up next on WMAL. But first, let's take a look at the weather as it heads our way for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. All right, we're looking for some morning rain, but by afternoon, we should be in a little better shape today with a high of 51. Overnight lows tonight down to 36. For tomorrow, look for sunshine with a high of 49. Monday, cloudy up to about 50, and on Tuesday, morning rain with a high of 60. Sunshine on Wednesday up to 45 and some showers on Thursday, highs to 49, and overnight lows not expected to be below freezing throughout the entire week. So rather balmy Christmas week here in the Washington area. Right now in D.C., it's 39, and we are heading up to 51 this afternoon. We are at 743 on the Saturday Morning Update.
For the first years of your life, you rode on three wheels. But when the trike became a bike, you never looked back. Woo-hoo! Before long, two wheels changed to four. And after a few years of the minivan when the kids were young, you were able to change back. You're used to change, and change is good. Especially when it leads to more power at your command. That's exactly why the Mutual Fund Store has joined forces with Financial Engines and changed our name. Now, at Financial Engines, you'll still get the same personalized retirement planning from a trusted advisor, But now we also offer more extensive research and more resources to help your advisor help you get to where you want to be. Let us show you the power of a great plan and how Financial Engines can make that happen. Visit FinancialEngines.com today.
This is Brad Garner with Financial Engines in the D.C. area. Let's talk about the financial goals that are important to you, and together we'll develop a plan to make them happen. Call me at 800-822-1461 or visit FinancialEngines.com.
Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. Try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, get 2 free gifts and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. Get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now, 800-281-8770. 800-281-8770.
Saturday Morning Update continues, and we continue our conversation with Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor. Key roles in the administration continue to be filled. Kellyanne Conway as counselor to the president and Sean Spicer as White House press secretary. And we've seen some great cabinet picks so far. And what is your sense of enthusiasm about the team that he has put together at this point? You know these people personally.
Yes. I mean, I can tell you both Kellyanne and Sean are incredibly talented. They're battle ready. They understand the mentality of the mainstream media, and they stand strong on pushing forward and effectively communicating Donald Trump's message. I mean, I'm honored to basically call both of them my friend. I have to tell you, for Kellyanne, who has four kids, I understand that battle. I mean, I've got five, and you don't want to be told that you can't do a job because you have a certain number of kids. And I know for Kellyanne, she's going to very much be able to be an effective at her job and be a good mom and manage to stand there with Donald Trump. But guess what? Donald Trump needs her. The nation needs her. She's calm and cool and collected communicator, exactly the type of person that we need to not only communicate to everyday Americans, but especially to reach out to those women and moms out there to help talk about Donald Trump's vision and his policies. And I think Sean has a very strong relationship with these reporters. He's well respected in what he does. So I think for both of them, I'm just so excited. And I know for Donald Trump, that's two big heavy hitters for him to become part of the administration.
One final note, you mentioned the term heavy hitters, and I just feel so much more confident with the level of expertise that the president-elect is bringing into these key roles of the administration. And I just kind of remember back to the Obama administration and just some of the appointees and his example, the press secretaries. I just didn't have a real strong feeling of the accomplishment there. It felt more like these were favors paid back because these were key supporters, not necessarily there for their expertise.
I agree. I think the interesting mix of this cabinet is the fact that you have individuals who have been incredibly successful in their levels of expert in their fields of expertise. I think that you look at General Mattis, for example. He is well respected on both sides of the aisle for being a strong, very smart general. You have the case of Rex Tillerson, obviously a CEO of a multi-million-dollar company, and I think that it comes to the point where you want those individuals that are outside of what would be government that are going to be able to bring in their business expertise dealing with big bureaucracies to be able to come into Washington and really change the way Washington does business. And I think that he's proving this through the people who he's picking in these cabinet positions. And I think it's going to be an interesting test, but I think it's going to be very successful. And I think you're going to see a bureaucracy that should be nervous in Washington to know that change is coming, but I think at the end it will be positive change and really push forward Donald Trump's agenda.
Mercedes Schlapp, Cove Strategies, and The Washington Times. And you can catch her Christmas wish in Thursday's Washington Times this past week. Mercedes, a very Merry Christmas to you, Matt, and the family. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rick.
7:49 now on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and we do have an update on a situation on the Beltway and time for a check on traffic. We'll be right back.
Good morning. I'm James Stanley, and here's a look at WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. We have another problem on the Beltway Inner Loop. This at 66 off on the right side. That's a stalled car. They're working now on getting a wrecker out to get that towed off. 95 northbound just before 212, we've got a stalled out car in the left lane. That was originally an accident, but the accident now has been picked up. 270 southbound just past Montrose, we've got a right lane taken out from a two-car crash. Southbound on 95 right at Triangle, watch for a left lane taken out from a two-car accident. All of the lanes have opened back up on 66 eastbound just past Nutley. There had been an accident there that had been causing a backup of about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm James Stanley on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, it's 10 of 8, Christmas Eve morning. Are you scrambling? Haven't gotten that gift for everybody yet. What are you gonna do? We may have the solution for you right here. Now, that sounds rather, you know, bold that I would say that. But here's the solution. Of course, a gift card is a solution, but which one? How do you evaluate a gift card? WalletHub.com has a great site that has a page called 2016's Best Gift Cards. Now, they rank them many different ways, and WalletHub's a pretty big deal. It's a, you know, it's a very respectable website. Now, you can look at the gift cards by the gift card popularity rank. So if you count down the top 10 most popular gift cards, eBay is at number 10, Netflix at number 9, Google Play is number 8, a Starbucks gift card, number 7, Target gift card, 6, Walmart gift card, 5, an American Express gift card, 4, iTunes gift card, 3, Visa gift card, 2, and the number 1 most popular gift card is the Amazon gift card. Now, if you're a re-gifter, you might be a reseller. So WalletHub takes a look at the average resale value and the popularity when it comes to the resale values. So as an example, Nike, if you get a Nike gift card and it's a $100 card, you can probably sell it for $93.66. That's the highest resale value, according to their research, of gift cards. Walmart comes in at number 2 at $83.94. Best Buy, $83.12. Safeway gift card is number 4. That comes in at $83.04. Then in the range from $82 down to $81, Costco, Target, Shell, Netflix, Apple, and Ticketmaster. How about a Ticketmaster gift card? The problem is to get a concert ticket, it's going to cost you probably $125 or $150 for one. If you get somebody a Ticketmaster gift card, plan to spend $300 if you want to get them to the show of their choice. But there are plenty of other ones. Now, there's another way to look at this thing. That is the average buyer discount. So if you get an H&M gift card, the average buyer discount is 21%. That's pretty good. Taco Bell comes in at number 2. 12.46% is the average buyer discount. On the iTunes, it's 5.75% on the buyer discount for the iTunes. So that's not a huge one. H&M, 21.67%. Forever 21 gift card, the average buyer discount is 12.87%. A TJ Maxx at 12.7%. Olive Garden, you get a 12.20% average buyer discount. All right, so I'll rattle off a bunch of numbers here to you, but go to WalletHub.com if you're in a pinch and you can find out all the information about gift cards. Now, you always want to remember that gift cards expire. And if you don't use them, sometimes the value starts to trickle off. So if you had a $100 gift card lying around in the drawer for 3 or 4 years, if it hasn't totally expired, it might be down to 50 or 60. So if you have a gift card, make sure you use it. If you get a gift card, I mean, I always save this stuff because I want to save it, and I'm going to use it at special time. That special time never comes along. I hoard the gift card, and then the gift card is not worth anything where anything near where it was when I received the gift card. So use your gift cards. But WalletHub.com has some very valuable information for you.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Christmas Eve on WMAL, a happy Hanukkah as well. And I don't know about you, but a lot of my out-of-town friends have been calling, emailing, and texting going, what's going on with the inauguration? What are the events? Can I get tickets to the balls? How many balls? Which one should I go to? What should I do? Where should I stay? All these questions. Well, we can help you out a little bit here if you're getting those questions from your out-of-town friends or you're here in town and you want to know officially what is going on. Well, the Presidential Inaugural Committee has a website, and this is the official website. It is the 58th presidential inauguration, so the website is 58PIC, for Presidential Inaugural Committee, 58PIC2017.org. So that's 58PIC2017.org. Not sure who came up with the idea for that name of a website, but that's where all the official information is. It lays out the schedule. There's a wreath-laying ceremony on Thursday, the 19th. Make America Great Welcome celebration at the Lincoln Memorial, also on that Thursday. Friday, the inaugural swearing-in ceremony, of course, the inaugural parade. Three official inaugural balls scheduled for Friday night, and then the National Prayer Service is Saturday at the Washington National Cathedral. Now, that's the official schedule. Of course, there are other inaugural balls and events around town, but to get the official word and find out more about that, it is 58PIC2017.org. The committee announcing yesterday that the Radio City Rockettes will be performing at the inauguration, and also the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, who have played, I don't know how many inaugurations, but I think they played just about every one of them. And those are two of the entertainment organizations coming in. A lot of rumor about which A-list, quote unquote, A-list, I use the term loosely, because half of them I thought were leaving the country, but I don't think anybody's moved yet of significance. Cher had promised to move. Darn it, she hasn't moved. I thought she was going to Jupiter. Wasn't Jupiter the destination that Cher said? But she hasn't left yet. Maybe Branson hasn't gotten the, you know, Jupiter craft finished off yet. But anyway, this controversy goes back and forth about quote-unquote A-list celebrities. Maybe they'll just focus on the inauguration. It ain't a Super Bowl halftime show. It's a presidential inauguration.
Well, that's going to do it for the Saturday morning update. And we want to take a quick second to, of course, wish you a very Merry Christmas, a very Happy Hanukkah as it starts today. And we appreciate you being with us throughout the year. People get up early on Saturday morning, and nice to have you with us. We do start at 6. For those of you that don't get up until 7:45, we are here at 6. But there is a podcast as well at WMAL.com. But we get a lot of emails, and really appreciate the support. Appreciate you listening every Saturday. Want to wish you and your family the very best for this holiday season. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station where Washington comes to talk.